Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 100. In November of each year in our nation, we observe a very unique holiday that's called Thanksgiving Day. Now, to my knowledge, with possibly one exception, we're the only nation to have such a day set aside for just such a purpose. This celebration had its beginning around 1620 and has gradually become a national day of observance. Some say the first day was proclaimed in 1789. And quoting from one source as to how it began, Dr. Franklin says that in a time of great despondency among the first settlers of New England, it was proposed of one of their public assemblies to proclaim a fast. An old farmer arose, spoke of provoking heaven with their complaints, reviewed their mercies, and showed that instead of appointing a day of fasting and complaint, they should appoint a day of thanksgiving. Well, this was accordingly done. And according to this source, the custom has continued ever since. Well, there are various theories and stories as to how Thanksgiving Day began. But of course, we do not celebrate Thanksgiving Day as some special religious holy day, nor any other such day, because they're simply not authorized in Scripture. We must have authority for what we do religiously, Colossians 3 and verse 17. And no day is special in and of itself. Now, to be sure, the first day of the week carries some distinction because on that day we're to assemble for worship. But it is the worship that is special, not particularly the day, even though the first day is specified. But the idea of thanksgiving is a noble one, and certainly like Christ, not only in the fall season, but throughout the year, every year. Giving thanks is a very reasonable activity as well as a biblical one. One wrote, "If an exhausted, weary, needy traveler should rest at the foot of a castle wall, and someone from the wall dropped to him a supply for all of his needs, could he keep from looking up to see who had relieved him?" So it is not possible for a true Christian who lives daily out of the alms basket of God's providence not to look with thankfulness to that Father who liberally supplies all his needs. Another once said, "An ungrateful man is like a hog under a tree eating acorns, but never looking up to see where they come from." We would contend that it makes good sense and good reason to be grateful. The ingrate is to be shunned because he has a despicable character. But more significant than that, thankfulness is biblical. It is Christ-like. It is amazing how much the Bible says on this subject. Jesus is our example in offering thanks. On several occasions, the Scripture mentions where he raised his voice toward heaven and prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. In Matthew 11 and verse 25, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." In John 11, verse 41, "And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." We learn that thanksgiving is to be offered to God through the name of Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5 and verse 20. The writings of inspiration by Paul are plentifully supplied with such expressions as, "I thank God," "God be thanked." Well, such is typical of Christian manners and respect for the source of blessings. The Bible also mentions many things for which men have offered thanks. Nehemiah thanked God upon the completion of rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem in Nehemiah chapter 12. Thanks was offered for food in Mark chapter 8 and Acts 27, 1 Timothy 4. Thanks was given in remembrance of God's holiness and mercy and goodness, 2 Chronicles 5. Paul gave thanks for his unspeakable gift of his son, 2 Corinthians 9. Other things mentioned in thanksgiving are the power of Christ, his rule and the reign over his kingdom, 1 John chapter 1, the reception of the word by others and good works done in the name of the Lord, they're also noted in 1 Thessalonians 2. Romans 7, verse 25 offers thanks for deliverance from sin. 1 Corinthians 15 mentions victory over death and the grave. We're to be thankful for wisdom and power, 1 Corinthians 14, the triumph of the gospel, also 1 Corinthians 1. We're to be thankful for the conversion of others, for love, for zeal, for faith exhibited by others. Psalm 100 mentions the nearness of God, while 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and also chapter 8, thanks is offered for the supply of the bodily needs and wants. And after all, James teaches in James 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Who could list all the things for which men have properly given thanks and still should? Frequently we read in Scripture exhortations to be thankful. Psalm 136, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. The psalmist also made resolutions to be thankful, Psalm chapter 18. In fact, we read where thanks was habitually offered by Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. Sacrifices of thanksgiving are mentioned in Psalm 116. Now, the opposite of being thankful is ingratitude. This is a detestable characteristic. One wrote, nothing more detestable does the earth produce than an ungrateful man. Men have described ingratitude with various analogies. One very fitting one is liking the ingrate to the Dead Sea that takes in the fresh waters of Jordan, but makes them salty and bitter and gives nothing but briny death to everything around it. There is a story about a soldier in a war in 1854 who was wounded in battle. He fell into a ravine and was helpless and dying. The only one to see him fall was one of the enemy. But this enemy came to him, he stooped over him, he gave him water, he bound up his wound, he revived him, he lifted him from the ravine and signaled to the wounded man's comrades where he was. And when the helper rose to leave, the wounded man turned his weapon against him and killed him. Now, whether this is a true account, I do not know, but it does illustrate the wretchedness of ingratitude, does it not? When Paul was describing the worst sort of people, the most sordid and depraved kinds of humanity, among the things this inspired man listed was, Romans 1 and verse 21, neither were they thankful. Is it not the attitude toward blessings that causes one to be thankful or to be an ingrate? Some consider blessings something only for which to ask, but never for which to give thanks. Some always expect to receive, but never give. Some take their blessings as a matter of course, nothing for which one should sense any obligation to the source of them. Some think that everyone receives blessings, why not me? I work hard, I deserve them just as much as anybody else. They consider their blessings as payment for what they do. Some are not thankful for what they have because they're so preoccupied with the possibility of losing it. Some grieve over what they have lost to the point that they're never grateful for what they have. Even adults act like a child who cannot enjoy his ice cream cone due to the fretting over being without one when he finishes it. Nothing among our earthly, physical, and temporal blessings, friend, is going to remain very long anyway. How foolish not to enjoy them, but be grateful for them while they are ours to use to the glory of God. Now, some are not thankful for their blessings because of their greed, just making them want more and more. Failing to be thankful is a mark of covetousness, which is idolatry, Colossians 3 and verse 5. Being malcontent because we do not have an abundance is ingratitude. Do we not know sufficiency is as adequate as abundance? Half a loaf is better than no loaf. Rather than complaining for not having an abundance, true followers of Christ are thankful even for a small portion. After all, Christians have more and better blessings than anyone because we not only have physical blessings, but the spiritual blessings which are in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. And how can you measure the worth of the forgiveness of sins, or fellowship with deity and the saved, or the hope of eternal heaven, blessings that none can take from us if we will only be faithful to God? How tragic that we would complain for not having more of the fleeting and passing things of this life. But we realize with James that all blessings come from God. Our lives should be filled with thanksgiving and praise, making sure that our gratitude is genuine and sincere and true, not only on a national holiday like Thanksgiving Day, but throughout our entire life. Even in times of adversity, holy men of God lifted their voices in praise. Even when persecuted and mistreated, early Christians gave God thanks that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name, Acts 5, verse 41. Let us always lift our voices in tune with the sentiments expressed by Job, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job 1 and verse 21. And with whom had you rather be compared? Let me read to you Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entereth into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now in the record, Jesus healed all 10. And yet only one turned back to thank him. You know, to say thank you is to speak beautiful and noble words. To observe a day of thanks is noble and admirable gesture. But the real way to thank God is by the way that we live day by day, from one Thanksgiving day to the next. Just as a physician judges the condition of a person's body by the way it functions, and not by the words a person may say about his condition, so God knows our gratitude, or lack of it, by the way that we live, not just by good words that we might say. So let us therefore resolve in our hearts to possess the Spirit expressed in Psalm 79, "So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations." And how thankful we ought to be for God's plan for saving us, and His gift of Christ, and Christ's gift of eternal life, because it was made possible by the giving of His life. How thankful we can be for the gift of salvation, revealed by the will of God, that we can live and eventually enter into eternal glory with Him. And we enter into the service of God by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in Christ, and being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, whereupon God, by the blood of Christ, cleanses our soul, and we stand acceptable before God. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.